Good morning. That's this week, past week's staff, Daf Yutes, in the second parak in the Sefer Ksubos. Ready to start the sugya, which is really Mishnah V'Chesam and Beis. This part of the parak is referred to as the sugya of Shtaros. Let's see. Zok the Mishnah. Ha'edim shomu ksav yudin huzeh aval anusim ha'yinu, k'tanim ha'yinu, p'sula'edis ha'yinu, harei elu ne'mon. The Reish of the Mishnah is the following. We know by now that a shtar needs kiyam midrabon, which means as follows. That midraisa or shtar is not subject to a taina of mezuyif. That means if someone, ma'avo, let's say, produces a shtar against the loyve, that there was a havo, it was a loan, and he owes him money, so the loyve can't deny the shtar and say that that it was mezuyif, it was forged, even though it seemingly it would, it's not going against the shtar. I mean, you know, the shtar is if you accept the chesimis in the shtar, okay, then we could talk about what they're saying. You have a koyach avedus. But if you're saying that the whole thing is mezuyif in the first place, so it doesn't start. Right, I mean, as we. However, in the rise of the halacha, there's a din that a shtar has the. We'll see maybe where it comes from. Has to do with the halacha of nechkira. But a shtar has the power to support itself, and therefore one can't taina mezuyif on a shtar. Is a din drabonon? Anti Moron Gittin says that kim shtaros is drabonon, which means as follows, that the taina of mezuyif could be tainted against the shtar and uphold the collection ability from the shtar until one verifies the signatures. And that's what the halacha, where the halacha of kiyam comes from. And the halacha, as a result of that, is that any shtar, even before there's a specific taina of mezuyif on it, has to be niskayim. Needs a kiyam. Now this thing.
What do you mean? Before there's a claim of mezuyif.
Even if someone doesn't claim mezuyif, even though the purpose of the kiyam is to deflect a possible taina of ziyif, right? So even if the loyve, let's say for example, right, is not tining that it's mezuyif, right? But a shtar in general needs to have kiyam. And we'll see the basis of that might be because even if one is not tining mezuyif, but possibly that kol zman the tining mezuyif is a possibility, so that might give him the power to tine other tinus.
Well, once it's mekuyim, I assume you cannot tine a mezuyif.
Right. Right. Okay, so that's the background of this Mishnah. Ha'edim shomu ksav yadein huzeh. Our Mishnah is talking about that the kiyam, the verification on the signatures, is done by the Eden themselves. Now that's not necessarily necessary. Right? That the way kiyam could be done is even with other edim to verify that these signatures are authentic signatures. Now, when we're talking about, we'll see whether this just for purpose of clarity, when we're talking about Ziv, right, what we're talking about is that someone else who doesn't belong to these names signed it, right? That's what the Ziv that we're talking about over here is, right? Is a different type of Ziv, which maybe the Shtar itself in entirety is Ziv, that you could be that the person signed his name, but he signed his name to something that didn't exist, right? So that kind of Ziv, forgery, would be talking to the Maisa itself, right? Right, that the act didn't happen. You know, you could hire a person to write his name down. Right, that's also could be done. But we're discussing over here an issue that someone else wrote down the names of these Edom. Right? That's what we're discussing, and therefore we're verifying that. The signature was written by the people who behold this name. Right? That's what we're talking about, right? Now, as we mentioned, this does not have to be done by the people themselves. It could be anyone who could recognize. And apparently, in those days, that there was people had recognition of signatures. Maybe there were certain reputable people who did the signing over here, and that's why we're dealing with a certain person, and that's why someone's forging someone else's name. Akoponim, but that's what we're talking about. And therefore, it's moving in the more also that there is another option of dimyon chasimus, right? That the more the Braisa on the Tesom Beis mentions, if you have another shtar which that shtar itself was verified and has the hempik, has the stamp from Bezdin, that was a verified shtar, so you could use that and you can compare the handwritings. Right? We're assuming that someone else doesn't do such a good job, right? If you have a perfect one who does that, then this is not going to help. Maybe nothing will help. Right? Okay. If you could do really a perfect job, right? if the issue is recognizing the shtar, recognizing the signatures themselves. Akaponim, our mission is talking about where the Edei Hashtar, they themselves are verifying that being Mekayim the shtar, and in addition to the Kiyam, they're also telling us something about the shtar, which really is nullifying the power of the shtar. What are they telling us? They're telling us anus mayinu, ketanim hayinu, or psul edus hayinu. Anusim hayinu means that we were forced to sign. This really means is that there was no havod, there was the transaction didn't take place. Whatever what the shtar is testifying on, what we signed to testify on havod or on his chayvus, never happened. We were forced to sign. Right? That's what it is. So that's saying that true that this is these are valid signatures. These are it's us. Mm-hmm. Right? No, it wasn't forged by a different party. However, that the shtar is not a valid shtar because there really was no havol here. We were forced to sign.
Or at least the Edom aren't testifying to it. I mean, it doesn't really say if there was a havol or not. It just says there's no Edom.
Right. So, as far as using the shtar for a power to collect, there's nothing. This over here, the chasima is not made on a halvo. Right? That's what they're saying, right? We did not see. So when we saw him, we were not testifying on a halvo.
Your horror is that maybe there was a halva somewhere else without us, had nothing to do with us, and
doesn't say anything if the two people got into an agreement.
But that's not relevant to us, right? Because because at any point in time you could always question that, but we can't work with that if it's not in front of us. So we're just working with this This would have been the power of collection, and what they're coming to say is that they're coming to undermine the power of collection in the shtar. So that's the anusim hayinu in this Mishnah here. Ketanim hayinu, this ketanim hayinu they're saying is that there was a halva everything, but as far as having edim, valid edim on the shtar, we were ketanim at the time. A katan is not roi lahoid, right? Now, seemingly, what they're saying, it would sound like they're saying, is that the halva was a halva, but there's no edim on the shtar. Now what does that mean now? Mean to say is that fine, okay, so do we have their edus today? I'll pet. You know, let it have the validity of a milva I'll pet. So that really has to do with really two things we'll see. But the first thing that has to do with is whether someone could say edus when he is a godel from something that he saw when he was a cotton. Is that reliable? Can he be made on that? And then we'll see that there's a second halacha also, there's a halacha of tchilosa v'sefer b'kashrus that the Rishonim talk about, which is relevant, we'll see in the next case more so. The case of Psula Edis Hayinu. Psula Edis Hayinu. What's the case of Psula Edis Hayinu? Rashi says in the Mishnah, Psula Edis Krovim Oy Misacha Kim Bekovyu. Right? Rashi says, Krovim, either they're Psula Edis Krovim, that they're Krovim to either the mouth of the Loive. So this pastus is as far as kravim is concerned. That's what it is. Rashi says, or else misacha kim b'kuvya. This is a psul rabbonin, I believe, that someone that's involved in this kind of practice, misacha kim b'kuvya, is chazal pasled such a person. Right, we'll see, Mitzvah Shem, right, about this little Hagemara. But let's see. So Psuli Eidus is like this. Is that, so in the case of Kravim, so they're Kravim today also, right? Right? Primarily, right? Things don't change, you know, depending on right? So as far as that's concerned, you know, the fact that they're saying that we did see the halva is not going to leave us over with an edus al peh. Not misachin kabekovia. That might have to do with whether they're still in that status or not. That could change, right? If they did tshuva, whatever the seyed advarim is, and this is where this halacha. See, the second last place is over here. See that milva gufa medik daik urabon afil milva peloy havid beinam shehet chilase v'sefer bekashrus. That's what Tosfos says over here. That ketanim and psulim, there is no milva al peh. Now we'll see Rashi maybe later on in the Gemara might have a mashmoy. It's not like this. Okay, so let's come back again. Okay, so we're in the Reish of the Mishnah, and the point of the Reish of the Mishnah is that we're relying on the on the kiyum, on these edim themselves. Without kiyum, shtar is not collectible. There's a shtar zif on the shtar. It's not collectible till you mekayim it. So what we have over here is that the edim, they come, they mekayim it. But they when they make their kiyum, they add something which invalidates the shtar by one of these three oifanim. The Mishnah says, halacha is, harei elu nemonim. They're believed on their tainu. Anusim ktanim psuliedus. Let's see Rashi. Look Rashi. Right, and the Mishnah says that they're nemon. Mishnah doesn't say clearly what the basis of the neman is. But if you see from the Hemshecha Mishnah, Mishnah says, say for the Mishnah, Yesh Edim Shuksav Yodom, Oy Shuksav Yodom Yetzim Mokam Acher. Right? That's what that word Taka referred to. That's actually another star. Yeah, actually it's better over here, yeah. Ein Nemanim. Zok to Mishnah, if we're not relying on them, for Kiyum, they're not Nemon. So it's clear in the Mishnah that the basis of the Nemon is the fact that since we're relying on them for the Iker Kiyum, so that's the basis of the Nemonus on what they're saying. Anusim Ktanim Pliyedus. And therefore, in the Sefer, when we're not relying on them, we don't need them for the Kiyum, so then they're not Nemon. Right, so that's what we see so far in the Mishnah, such an idea. Right, the Gemara says, or clearly says later, over here, that Bishlom Rabbanon ki tamayu shapesh also apesh hitim. Right, that's what the Gemara expresses in the Mishnah. The reason for the het. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi says as follows: Eim shomru shohim idna al chasimosim kaim esashdan. So this set is saying that the ksav yedenu. The point of that is to be mekayim the shtar, as we mentioned. Psuli edus hayinu. Okay, we saw that Rashi. Hari el nemonim zok Rashi kivon de'en ksav yod nikar ella al pihem. Rashi says in the Reisha that they're nemon, since we only have the kiyum through them. Hapesha osam hu hapesha hitim. Literally translated as the mouth, the same mouth that created. Now the Isser in this case over here refers to the Hischaivus, Pesha Osam, right? The Peh which caused the binding, the Hischaivus, the obligation. What Pesha Hitta, that same source is continued to talk about this topic over here, and it was Martin. Rashi says the following: the same way that we believe them for this, we believe them for that. Right? There seems to be a dependency that since we believe them for the initial thing that they said, so that's what causes that they have to be believed on what they're following up on.
Either believe them on both or believe them on neither?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does the second statement have to be Tochti de Dibor?
Okay, so we'll see about that. Maybe we'll see about that.
Would it make a difference if, let's say, Aiden came afterwards and verified it? Like, in other words, that he made the initial statement, this is mine, but I was forced, and then a day later, Adam came and said, this is yours. Does that take away it?
Yeah, I would think so, yeah. Right? Right, we'll see if we have a riot to that, but I believe so. So in the Reisha, Rashi explains, I mean, the words more are Pesha Asar, and Rashi explains the Pesha Asar is referring to some kind of concept that being that they were the ones who created the Isser, the obligation, so therefore we have to believe them to whatever they follow through as far as the validity of that obligation, whatever further information that is.
Just one question. It sounds like meaning if Adam would come later and that would change it, and it sounds like that this din of Pesha Hit and Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter is really a din in Kiyum. We can't be Mekayim it because their Kiyum is also being Posel. But if we would have later a Kiyum, then it's Mekayim it. If it's a din in Ne'amonis, then it wouldn't matter. Meaning, they're saying
What are you talking about over here?
Yeah, one is, what's a Pesha Hitter, Pesach or Pesha Hitter? Is it a din in Kiyum or is it a din in Ne'amonis? Meaning, do we say, because we believe them that they're saying it's our ksav, because they could have said it's bichlal not our ksav. Therefore, we believe them that they say we were puzzle for or whatever other reason. Right? That shouldn't make a difference if that's the reason that we believe them on this, and therefore because they could have had a migu, because they had a migu, and therefore we believe them on the second one. Then what does it matter if Adam come later? We believe them because of the migu. We already believed them to puzzle the shtar. If you say that Adam coming later is going to help, then it sounds like Peshas or Pesha Hitter has to be a din Kiyum Ashtar.
Well, definitely like this. I mean, definitely we see in the Sefer that if we're not relying on them, there's no basis of their Nemonis. So definitely from the point that Adam come, they lose the basis of their Nemonis. Right? I mean, their whole nemonis is only because we're relying on that. From the point on that we're not relying on them, from then on, that you know, it's not like they have definitely, especially if it's not a raya, so then it just is that. But that, as long as we're relying on them for the kiyum, so we have to listen to them to the way they explain what the relevance of the shtar is and how far the kiyum could go. So then. You know, but at the moment that we don't need them anymore, so then they have no basis to be them with. So we could understand very well. I mean, that's regardless. That's what it is. And even if it's, you know, your two stardom sound like you're saying is it only a nemonis in the kim or it's a nemon on the maise itself, right? Further than the kim. Right? But I would think that regardless, the nemonis is based on the fact that we're relying on them. That's the source of the nemonis. So if that's so I would think that at the point that the basis is pulled out from under them, then from that point and on, there's no more nemonis.
Right, and if the shtar was, let's say, a chov and it was collected based on their Peshas and Peshitter, and the money was transferred from the Lova to the Malva, and then the next day we have Adam that are Mekayim the Shtar, and the next day Adam are Mekayim the Shtar.
He's not talking about our case. He's talking about he made up a new case.
What's the case where they would possible the Shtar because of the Migu and you pay the money?
No, he's not possibly. He's talking about a case where through a Pesha also somehow you create a collection. That's what he's talking about.
After the collection. So would now we say, now we have Edom, so they lost their Peshasser. They lost their Peshasser, so therefore they don't have their Nemanis. Therefore, we don't believe them that they're Anusim, and therefore, whatever the deal was, whatever, we follow their say, will we go back and redo whatever we did?
I mean, on you know, according to this side of things, yeah.
I don't see that case. I don't even understand the case, quite honestly.
Okay, whatever. I said it backwards. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
You're saying if you're gold for money, can they get it back?
Well, let's talk more simpler. Let's talk about this case. You want to talk about do we rip up the shtar? If we rip the shtar, do we rewrite it? You know, after.
Oh, we rip up the shtar.
I'm saying that's what'll be relevant in our case over here.
We rip the shtar right after they say have a peshasa, we rip it up right away.
I'm saying where that to be. That's what you want to know. And we'll see about what as far as what takad halacha is. Is the shtar? Do we keep the shtar around or we get rid of the shtar? Right, we'll have to see about this.
See, this gets back to what I wanted to be matkish before.
Oh, yeah.
Is that Passing the star doesn't specifically say that the halva didn't happen, right? So if there was a collection, now we have a change, or we possibly have a change of who the machzak is.
Oh, wow.
Right? In other words, why do you need a star to collect? Because the person typically has a chazakah that he has the money in his pocket. Someone's trying to now extract it. So you have a star saying that you lent the money, you have to return it. If we have a case where, I won't say this is clear, but if we have a case where he already collected on the star, and then we now, the keem, the star is gone, we're not specifically back in the same point that we were before. Now the guy says, look,
Now I'm a mukhsik.
Yeah.
What's the case?
It's a new mukhsik. It's a new, wow.
You collected the money.
Well, that's in general. Whenever you have a case, a question, and we can't be mukhsik the because of the mukhsik, mm. The guy is tofus it. That's
It might, that's
why I said
it's not so simple.
It's complicated. Yeah. It's not like.
Well, okay. So really, what we need to know over here is that after such thing would happen, was there any basis to his tefisa? To know, his tefisa only helps only if there's a suffix.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If there's no suffix, I can't just grab your money and say, okay, now that I have it, prove to me that it's not yours. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I can only hold on to something only if it's a valid suffix, and I'm retaining it because of the on the side of the suffix I'm holding it. But if there's no valid suffix, so then I'm holding your money. So the fact that it's in my possession now doesn't mean anything. So that's what we need to know in such a case like that, whether after the shtar is undone, is there a suffix over here? Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's come back. A lot of these things are discussed. We just want to open things up a little bit over here. Is again, right? So we're discussing over here that Rashi explains that Pesha Osar is this new concept, which obligates Bezdin to accept the follow-up of what someone says in the situation where initially he's the one that we're relying on.
Is that the same how we'll explain HaPashasa in the previous Mishnahs that discussed Pashasa?
Yeah. So let's talk about that for a moment. But Well, just want to be mad at something over here, just to bring out the point that there's another way of understanding it, which that's the mashmais of Tosfos in the sugya over here learns that these words Pesha Osar don't necessarily refer to a new concept, but just refers to that of a strong migul. Migul dibar yishosik, right? That's what it is, which we talked about before, that as far as migum simply a migul simply is a raya, is a proof that one is saying the truth. Because if he was lying, then he should have done something differently. It would make more sense to make a different taina, or so. So that could either be that he could have said a different taina, right, which is a better, more acceptable, quicker accepted taina, and if he says the worser of two tainas, so that's a question. A liar doesn't do that. Most the only reason why someone would do that if he's saying the truth, right? If it's the truth, it's the truth. Right? You know, you just saying the truth, right?
They might not be so sharp, and that might not think of the best taina that you possibly can make.
That's a kind of migu, which has to do with a different taina, and then there's a migu which, and that's what we discussed then, and that's what this concept of migu boishosik means, that you didn't have to say anything in the first place, And the mere fact that he said something, that in itself, that's the biggest proof that he must be saying the truth, because you know, if he's lying, then he just should have kept quiet. So too in this situation over, let's say over here, that's what it would mean, that the shtar right now at this point cannot be used because it needs kiyum. So it wouldn't be necessary for them to be mekayim it and then say anusim. Right? It would be much if they were to be lying and not saying the truth and to prevent collection from the shtar, so they shouldn't have said anything in the first place. So that's a way to understand. That's a Tosfos seems to learn over here. Now in Rashi, Takas is seems pretty clear. That Rashi saying Satan is not saying that. Rashi is saying something else. Rashi is saying there's a Pesha Asar, which is this concept which we spoke about, mentioned before, that being that we're relying them on for the Iker His Chayvus in this case, so therefore that's what obligates us to accept how they continue and how they give over the validity of this ischaivus that they created. Now, as I mentioned before, right, the concept of Pesha Asar is what the Mishnah itself before used that terminology. The case the Mishnah talks about is that Hamachavere is Sodazushal Avicha Isil Kachtiyam Himenu. Someone's on a field. He admits to someone else that this field originally did not belong to me. This is beginning the parak, right? This field did not originally belong to me. However, I bought it. I bought it from your father. He doesn't have any proof that he bought it, and that's the issue over here in the Mishnah. Whether once he admits that it was his and he has no proof, so
now could there be a big difference between the case in the first Mishnah and our case? Because the case in the first Mishnah, it's affecting himself. And he's saying he might end up having to give away this field. And he's saying, he opens his big mouth and says, this field used to belong to your father. And then he said about himself, no, but I bought it. He says it to defend himself. By our Mishnah, it's Edim, and they seem to have no negias and no benefit whether Reuben has the money or Shimon has the money. They're bystanders. I mean, they're not nogea. It doesn't affect them. It doesn't make a difference to them.
Okay. What, so there's more of a chash of what? Of a lie?
I would think that they should be more trusted in our Mishnah than in the case of the Mishnah.
Okay, fine.
Because they don't have any negias. In the first beginning of the parent, maybe whatever, we have to believe him because he opened his mouth and Ibar Yishasik, whatever, but bottom line is he's trying to protect himself. In the Amish, they seem to be not nogia at all.
Okay, that's true. You see, you're seeing a difference, but as far as this idea that's in Pesha Asar, it's the same concept, right? That if they're the ones who created the Hischaivas, so then they have to be believed to how they tailor this is chayvus, right? That's good for what it is. Now Rashi says. Rashi in the Mishnah Taka is used also such a lashon over there. Rashi Tap Tazayin. Rashi says. Umasha Osa Hare Hitzes. That actually sounds like he's using this idea in the Mishnah Masha Osa Hitzes. Right? We would just leave you with a ha'ora on that, being that this we learned this sugi before, that when the Gemara talks, the Gemara's coming to that Yeshua's Moedah, right? He doesn't hold of the Miguyim in the previous parak, but over here he's moide that Maishna Haimigu Mehaimigu. And the Gemara says, Shor Shochot. Right? So I just want to say over our Rashi. Rashi says,
is Shor Shochot the same thing as Ibai Shosek?
According to Rashi, it would seem like maybe it's more than that, right? With the Rashi over there. But what does Rashi say? Rashi said, but I don't want to point out like this. Rashi says, over there, right? The Rashi in the Masal Hocho.
Which stuff is this?
This is on the Tezayin.
The bottom. Toward the bottom.
It's like long last Rashi. Yeah.
What's the different Masal?
Hocho. Right, so the Gemara is explaining why is it? We're just going to say that Rabbi Shua is moida, even though he argued on the previous migu with Rabbi Gamliel, but over here he's moida to this. I'm just using the word migu. Gemara uses that nusach, right? And Gemara says the Malyusa is the Shor Shochot. That in itself is already seems to raise this idea of it. More, it doesn't sound like more of saying the chiluk is whether you have this concept of pesha osa, right? More seems to be using it a different kind of chiluk. More is calling it the shor shochot. That's the difference, right? But you see in Rashi also such an idea. Rashi says, Kleimar, im shosak ze loy hoyu loy oirin. Hilkoch, ilav, the dover poshir hu, shaloka himenu, loy hoyu oimer, loy shalavicha hoiso. Right, Rashi definitely sounds like he's talking over here that it's a migdaboy shosak, right? It's a strong raya, right? And Rashi continues, Hilkoch amir migu, aval gabi loy mosla besulim, shosholfonecho. Even though the chor is also a basis of a migul, you could have said something better. Rashi says, "No, learn me migul." The Gemaliaskadaite or Yerukamarim. So this Rashi over here definitely sounds like that he's discussing the concept of migul, and he's talking about one migul is better than another migul. Right? If it's another taino, then that's not such a riot. Right?
Goyishosik,
right. So the Rashi explains over here, right, it would sound like he's not working with this new kind of lomnis, this new mechanics of pesha also. It sounds like he's talking, right, I'll pee the Gemara really, and that's just a question of a strong migul. Okay, so we'll leave you with that ha'ora, and
so what's pshat?
What? Okay. Well, right now we'll leave that for ha'ora. Let's just focus on this over here. But in case that was bothering someone, we just wanted to.
That Rashi sounds more like Tosfos than Aramid.
Yeah,
but there is a difference in the cases. It's that over there, nobody knows about anything, right? We're not investigating anything. And all of a sudden he opens his mouth and now he's putting the thought in the mind of the...
No, you're right. But what we're just pointing out is that the Mishnah says Pesha Asa, right?
Right.
That's where we're being ma'ir. The Mishnah says Pesha Asa. Rashi on the Mishnah sounds like he's talking this mechanics of Pesha Asa. Rashi over here, right? Seems to call Pesha Asa some new kind of mechanics. But in the Gemara itself, when the Gemara is explaining the advantage of this case over there, of Shalaviyah, of Lakachti Mimenu over there, the Moed Rabbi Yeshua, that the Gemara itself, and that's how Rashi explains it, sounds like that we're talking Migu, right? So if that's so then, you know, you would see that the whole Pesha also doesn't really mean anything new. Right, it just means simple amigo de boy shosik. That's what Rabbi Meir. So it's a ha'ora really over there in the sugi itself, right? You know, from the Rashi on the Mishnah to here, right? Rashi on the Mishnah, maybe we wouldn't have been so aroused by what Rashi says. But now looking back through the lens of this Rashi over here, right, and we see that Pesha also sounds like it's a thing by itself. When we look back at that Rashi, it sounds like the Rashi is saying that. And, you know, Kinnira, Pesha is special also, you know, I mean, so if over there it didn't mean anything special, if they just meant a Megillah, so then why is Rashi over here explaining it differently?
I mean, there Rashi said it was not in Beis Din. Here we're for sure
Rashi,
in Beis Din, right?
One time Rashi said it was not
over there, the reason the Ein Shor Shachat Lefanecha, because you're not in Beis Din. There's no Taina. Isn't that what Rashi said?
Is that what Rashi says? What is that? What do you mean with that?
I mean, that was the whole meaning there. Why did we believe Peshas or Peshahitr? Because Ein Shor Shachat Lefanecha, and Rashi said because there's no Taina. He's not being Toin, you're in Beis Din.
I mean, he doesn't know to bring it to Beis Din.
Right.
So what are you hearing that?
So in our Mishnah, we're clearly already in Beis Din. So if you only have Pesha Asr Pesha Hitter when it's, then he doesn't know to be a Tainan Beis Din, and that's what Ein Shor Shachat Lefanecha is, then how is it even Shayach in our case where you're already in Beis Din? He's got a star right in front of you. So the Adam can say, oh, okay, we could have said it's not our signature at all. We could have, or we just didn't come to Beis Din. We're just not going to show up. But you're clearly already in Beis Din.
Yeah, I'm just trying to follow. I mean, it seems to me that you're explaining that by us, we don't have the Ein Shor Shachat Lefanecha. Right? Yeah, so I wasn't really so much asking in that vein. I'm just simply asking, what does Pesha Asa mean? Does Pesha Asa, the words Pesha Asa, does it refer to some kind of new concept that HaPesha Asa Pesha Hitter? Right? So, I mean, that's what Rashi over here seems to be explaining. We're just asking a question that the Gemara over there, the Mishnah itself, uses the words. This Mishnah doesn't even use the words. The Mishnah over there uses those magical words. And Rashi over there, the Gemara explains that it has nothing to do with the Pesha Asa. It's just a strong Migu. And rightfully so, you're saying that Rashi's explanation over there is not applicable over here. But we're just asking that, what do the words mean, right? Why are we changing the translation of Pesha Asa? If Pesha Asa just means, you know, a strong Migu, so that's what it means, right? Now it sounds like you're saying that possibly Rashi is shifting the translation here to there because what it meant over there is not applicable to what it means here. Is that what you want to say?
I'm not sure if I was explaining it. I was pointing out that there seems to be a difference. And I'm not sure how to shtim it in Rashi. Rashi over there said that Peshas or Peshitur is because you're not in Beis Din. And so when Rashi gets over here, so what's he? How's he going to say this is a Peshas or Peshitur? You're already in Beis Din.
Yeah, I mean, he's not using that. It's talking in the Hanami.
So it's
not,
like two different concepts.
Rashi seems to be saying it seems to be two different things, right? That's the Ein Shor Shachat Lefanecha, right? Rashi says over there.
So maybe
which you're right. That idea is not possible over here. But on the contrary, let's maybe we should be asking on the Gemara, right? That doesn't seem to be machlekes over here in this Mishnah over here. Elamai Pesha Asa, even without the Ein Shor Shachat Lefanecha, but the concept of Pesha Asa, that itself is a power, right? So why is the Gemara talking over there in Ein Shor Shachat Lefanecha? Why is that necessary?
Uh-huh.
Okay, but you know, I don't want to confuse too much right now by juggling two sugyas. I just wanted to mention that after we get everything clear in each individual sugya, then we can come and put them together and figure out why. why we have two separate concepts, two separate sugis over here.
So not next cycle, the next cycle after that.
Okay. See, because like this, in truth, in yeshivas, many places they start over here, so they don't have that background, so that kasha never gets asked. Yeah. Right, because this is sugi of shtaros. You know, this is you know the.
There's a whole sefer in
there. Yeah, it's a big, it's a huge inyan. All right. Okay, so for those of us that we had this chus to read it straight through and to have the connection. So.
So why can we answer like Michael was hinting to that. On Tazayin, it's possible to explain the way Rashi says there and over here, it's not possible. And that's what Rashi has even in Pshat.
So theoretically we could do that, but that just that's just being civil that therefore that Pesha Osar doesn't have to mean a new idea. But then we have the question really the other way, right? So then why did the Gemara have to say that over there if Pesha also works, right? No, the Gemara should have been mechalik in Pesha also, right? If Sefer Kol Sefer, if that's what our Gemara is saying now, there's a concept of Pesha also.
And that would be enough of a chiluk between why Rabbi Shua in the first parak says. And over here he says that Naaman?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so coming back around over here. So in Rashi explains that the concept of Pesha Osam is a new concept which obligates us to accept the follow through of what was initially said. The koyach ha'oiser has to be believed on the heter of what he's answering. Now we'll discuss that a little bit further, maybe more fine tune what that means in a moment. So the Reish of the Mishnah, being that we're relying on these Edim, so that's why we have to believe them in what their follow through is. Now,
were they Mekayim the Shtar or were they not Mekayim the Shtar?
What do you mean? At the end of the day,
when
is
they
there
say it's their signature, it sounds like they're being Mekayim the Shtar. But when they say Anusim HaYiru, it sounds like they're not being Mekayim the Shtar.
Okay. So. I mean, what the point of the Kiyam HaShtar really is to, in order to have, to rely on the Edis in the Shtar. So, even though that they're saying that the problem over here is not based on a forge of signatures, but this saying that the verification on the signatures is not going to bring forth to chiyuv.
So even though,
so I mean, I'm not sure, what when you say kiyum, what kiyum means, right? If kiyum means to verify the signatures that they're not forged, they are accomplishing that, but it's not relevant. The point of being mekayim the signatures is not relevant if there is no shtar, right? So they're telling us that even though the signatures are authentic signatures, right? If you want an autograph, you have a good autograph, but that's about all. Right?
Kiyum shtar is the Raisa Drabanan. So the Raisa is a good shtar even without the kiyum.
Right.
So the Rabbanan, when they require a kiyum, they're changing the Daraisa.
Okay. Okay, that's true. That's true to a degree. That's definitely true that the Chazal are did something over here to require kiyum which the rice we do not need. That's true. So this is all definitely working in the Drabonon. Right? After the Drabonon created whatever they created, that's what the basis of this all this is. Mm-hmm.
But lechor in the case where they're invalidating a star, I guess you could say that a star could be in one of three levels. It could be mekuyim,
Passled,
and stam, you know, still, you know, up in the air. So lechor on the derisa level, if let's say there are edim, let's say that it was mezuyah. On the derisa level, the star wouldn't be good, right? I mean, that would lechor.
Right.
Right.
Right. So what are you going with that?
Was saying that that they're changing the derisa, but in some cases not. They're just in a case where they're like in our case, where they're saying that it is possible. So that might
change the deraisa. The deraisa, you wouldn't need kiyum. You have a star. There's signature on the star. You collect, and that's it.
Unless something comes along to passel it,
But you have shuv lo yogid.
What?
They signed the star, so you have shuv lo yogid. Can they come and passel the star with another? With the maybe if other so
maybe
would come
Aiden,
and
maybe
other,
yeah, that's
a chiddush.
Right.
That's a chiddush because Rashi makes it sound like at the time when they're saying that it's a kiyum star is tochi de dibor, they're being saying anusim ayinu, and therefore they're it's not shuv chozer magid. They're saying the edus now the time of the kiyum, but really deraisa they said the edus when they signed it.
Right.
So the rice it should be a problem of shuv chozer magid.
Right.
Okay, let's hear. Let's hear. I mean, regardless, we'll get into the Gemara, but the Mishnah itself definitely is saying that the Nemonis is based on Kiyum. The Rais, there's no Kiyum, they're not doing anything. So there's no basis for the Nemonis. Right?
But they also, the Rabbanon are changing when their Edus is taking place?
When their Edus is taking place? I don't know if I would word it like that. That's a result of kiyum. Right? That's what. Right.
This was when they signed it.
So now that the Chazal require kiyum, so now there's the Edus itself is not finished possibly until the point of kiyum. Okay. Right. That's what Chazal are doing.
But if other people are mekayim the shtar, then the eid was finished back then when it was signed. It's only when the eidim themselves are trying to be mekayim the shtar that they can be.
I don't know if that has to be. You could understand that now also like that if that's what you need to do. Okay, when we get there, we'll discuss this dakas. But I'm not sure that if that will make a difference. Okay, so let's hear. Yeah, let's hear.
Try to go back
there. Okay, so we're discussing right now. Yeah, what Rashi tells us that there's a Pesha Osa. Pesha Osa is a concept that since we're relying on these Edim, this Koyach Ta'aser, so therefore we're bound to whatever this source is following up about. And that's why we have to accept the Anusim Ktanim and Psuli Edus. But that's all as long as we're bound to them for the Isser. That's why in the Sefer of the Mishnah, when there's Ksavel Noisim Okum Acher, so we're not relying, we're not standing on them. So the basis of their Nemonis is non-existent. And that's why the Halacha is that they're not Nemonim. In the Reisha, it's Nemonim. Now let's mention something over here which was touched on a few minutes ago. So we'll when we say that in the morning they're believed, they are believed. And we even discussed before that what happens if Adam come later, right? But let's go back a minute over here. So now when we say that they're believed. Does it mean that they could actually invalidate the shtar and therefore will rip up the shtar because the shtar has no power? Is that what it means? So, but Muskel Rishon, yeah, that's what it seems to be. Right? I mean, you know, if the only issue we discussed was that if things could be turned over later, so then maybe we can't rip up the shtar if it's subject to change. That might be an issue. Well, what are you?
Saying? I was just going to say what you just said.
Okay, right. Now, like this. Now,
well, that's the question: is the star possible, or is it just not Makuyim? That's really the question. Right?
Yeah, you're right. So this is now, but at this point, we want to explain what does it mean that it's not Makuyim? What is not Makuyim? I mean, we said that you know we have to accept what they're saying, so they're saying that it's possible, right? So what this understanding is as follows, because this concept is that since they are such, we have to believe them. Well, how do we understand that? Well, why is that so? Why is that so? I mean, l'chayra that without them, you know, the shtar would be a shtar which is not mekuyim. Shtar not mekuyim. You don't throw it out. You know, you just keep it around until you get kiyum. So is it possible that if the whole nemonis is based on the fact that they were the ones who were came, it's that they should be nemon to make it worse than what they accomplished in the first place? And if they wouldn't be here, then you know the shtar is a shtar. We're not throwing it out. So if the nemon that it's when we say that they have an nemonis to say that it's a nuisance based on the fact that we're relying on them for kiyum. They're being them really even further than what they're accomplishing in the first place. Therefore, there might be a different way of understanding what this is, and as follows, that and this is what Michael's was mentioning, that what we mean to say is as follows, that they're coming and they're giving this shtar, they're being mekayim the shtar. Now they are following up by saying that even though we're verifying the specific signatures, but that should not amount to creating a shtar with a power to collect, because there's another problem over here as they follow up. So the understanding of this would be is that they're basically saying that our verifications of the signatures is not going to amount to what a kiyum is supposed to accomplish, right? So maybe we'll use the term, right? Maybe that you were saying before is that our kiyum is not a kiyum, right? That's what they're saying. So they're all talking in the realms of kiyum, and that's what Pesha also would mean over here. Since we're relying on them for the kiyum, so by the same token, therefore they have the power over their kiyum, and therefore that if they're going to follow up by saying that the kiyum that we're saying on the normal circumstances which would create a kiyum, but over here our kiyum is not a kiyum, right? So that's what they're saying, right? And so they're undoing it. So they're not possibly not according to this. They're not going further or deeper than what they started. They're saying that we had, you know,
that would not rip up the shtar, according to what you just said.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Then we'd just be back to square one, like we call it. Right? Okay. That's what it would be. They're coming, and basically what they're saying is that our kiyum's not a kiyum. Right? That's what they're saying. Right? That's really what this means. They could undo their kiyum.
Is that in Rashi or in Tosas?
This was explained in Rashi. That's what Pesha Asa means. Right? Pesha Asa means. Right? Right? So really what they're doing is that they are classifying, maybe that's the word, what they're saying. Right? We're saying Ksav Yadenu, right? But the Ksav Yadenu that we're saying, right, is not a kiyum. Right?
They're clarifying. They're limiting. They're
making limitation. Right. Yeah. To what it is. Right. Right. So according to that, when we say that we're believing that what they say, Anus Maran, that we're not believing them in the Maisa, that's what happened. That's what actually happened. Hmm. We're just believing them in as much as the kiyum. Right. That's what it is. You're not. Lishita Seinu, right? There's no kim over here, right? That's what it is. But are we actually believing them that that's really what happened? No, we don't believe that's what happened. Mm-hmm. But just if that's what your kim is, then it's not a kim, right? That's what we're saying here. Mm-hmm. Right, we'll see. It will be relevant to the
world.
Attach
the word demanim in the Mishnah, according to what we just said.
Right, that's what it'll mean. Right, the demanus will be a demanus to remove the kim. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll see. There's definitely discussion about this. Right, we'll see. Right,
and then Rashi uses those same words because the Mishnah uses. He uses a word of Hemnusa. He uses it because, in the same way, you have to understand it the same way you're understanding mm-hmm. Naaman in the Mishnah.
Right. Okay. Now, in the safe of the Mishnah, right, that being that we're not relying on him, so as we mentioned before, right, so the basis of the Nemonus is not here. Right? Just to stress, that means in the Mishnah that it's clear in the Mishnah that the only power of the Nemonus that they have, the only reason why they should be Neman is only because of this the fact that they were the ones who were Mekayim, right? We'll use the word Pesha also, right? But only because they themselves created the Kiyum, that's the source of their Nemonus. And another source of Nemonus, right, they don't have. And therefore, if this Kavi didn't want to mock Macher, they don't have that source, so there's no basis for them to be, and that's what it means that they're not Nemonim.
We're Mekayim
the Shtar
without them. We don't need them for the kiyum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what I just said right now is not limited to what we just said before. I'm just saying that right, according to anyone, according to Tosis, it's a migul, right? But the whole idea is right, the boy shosik. There's no boy shosik if someone else was mekaimit. So that's the idea. In that being that the nemonis in the Mishnah is based on the fact that we're relying on them. If we're not relying on them, they don't have that source of nemonis, and another source of nemonis doesn't exist. Right, that's what is mevu in the Mishnah.
It's all because they can't say a new Eidus now because Kibbutz Shigat Shuvah and Chazon Magid. That's the whole reason.
Okay.
Because if they can say a new Eidus now, they can say be made. We were being anusim then, and therefore we rip up the shtar. Even if other Eidim are mekayim, rip up the shtar, but they can't because of Kibbutz Shigat. Is that
okay?
Correct?
Okay. So you just asked the question and gave an answer. Okay. So you want to know, but why is that so? Why is that so that this is their only source of the monas? Aren't they Edom?
Right.
Aren't they Edom?
Right.
So if they Edom, why can't...
What happened? Let them tell us what happened. Let them tell us that they were forced. We don't know the full story. They signed, but let them clarify. Let them...
So let's leave this question open and we'll go into the Gemara. Right? Very good. Right. So that's a question. Right. What? Right. But like as we mentioned, and this is important just to know that the outline of the Mishnah is that being that there is no other power of Nemonus, the only power is this Pesha Osa. That's why it's dependent whether the Pesha Osa is in existence or not, and the Reisha doesn't say if it's not. Right? That's what the Mishnah says. Right? Okay. Let's see. Zot Gemara. Omar Avachom. Yeah, we're about to learn the Lishna Kam and the Gemara. Omar Avachom. Lo Shonu Elo Sha'omru Anus Mahayinu Machmas Momen. Avlo. Nis Mahayinu Machmas Defoshes Hare Elu Ne'emonim. Rav Avachom says that he's making a distinction in where the Mishnah is talking about. And he's making a difference in when the Mishnah says that they're not nemonim, he's talking on a specific case. But if were to be a different case, then they're nemonim. Which means that he's going on the safe of the Mishnah. Okay? So on the safe of the Mishnah. Safe of the Mishnah says that being that there's no Pesha Osar, so there's no basis for them to be Neman, they're not Neman. On that, says Ram Rachoma, that's only when they're saying, Anusim Hayinu Machmas Momen. But if they're saying, Anusim Hayinu Machmas Nefoshes, then they would be Neman.
Even though
Ksav Yadin doesn't work, right. So basically what he's saying is he's saying that this that the Mishnah is Mivui, that there is no other source of Nemonus, right, what happened to Edus, right? On that he's saying, well, the reason for that is because of the problem you have of Anusim Machmas Momen. Now let's see, what is that? What's the difference between Anusim Machmas Momen and Anusim Machmas Nefon? She means as follows, right? Anusim Machmas Momen is that we were threatened monetarily to sign falsely, and that's something which a person is not allowed to do.
Someone wanted to say Anusim Machmas Momen can also be to offer a lot of money. Is that true? Or is it only a threat that money will be taken away from them? Like,
I mean, in this context, I mean, it's definitely so, right? Because the Mishnah is coming to say, right, that they did something wrong, right?
So if
they signed falsely because they offer a lot of money, they definitely did something, right?
Right.
Right.
So Machmas Momen doesn't have to be that they were threatened that they would lose money, that somebody...
Yeah, I'm saying it's a kol shekein, right? Mm-hmm. In this context, yeah. Right. Right. Now the fact that they're doing something wrong. So why is that relevant? What does that have to do with us? Right. So it's mivuyeh that because there's an issue over here of meisim atzmei rosho. Because of Mesim Atzmoy, ain't other Mesim Atzmoy Rosho. That being that by doing that they would be Nifsal from Edus. And we'll see why, but a person can't say Edus on himself, something which will make him into a Rosho, will change his status as far as being Kosher Lahoid.
Russia means that it can't say Edus in the future?
Yeah. Right. The Russia that we're talking about over here is becoming a apostle of Edus. Mm. Right? Stam being made on himself that he did an aver, which has no relevance, right, is that's not this halacha over here.
But he ate treif. That has no shaykhus.
Well, I mean, if depending on what the Gedorim of Suleidis are, right? But if assuming that doesn't affect him, right? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, of course that's not going to help you either, you know, to give him Malkus, right? But, yeah. Akapon, okay, so let's hear that again. So what he's coming to say is as follows, that the Mishnah in the Sefer is talking that since there is no other Koyach HaVedis, that's why, and his Pesha also is not non-existent, so he's not Neman, on that Rami Bahama says, well, you know, there's two types of Anusim. Granted that the Anusim Achmas Momen has no power in Eidus because there's a Mesa Masmi Rosha in involved in that. But if it's Anusa Machmas Nefoshes, that his life is threatened, and therefore the halacha in such a case is that he's supposed to sign. It's Yavar Val Yehorig in such a case. So he was supposed to sign. So over there, there's no issue of Meisimas Mirosha, and therefore he'll be Neman Mikoyach Eidus. Right? So this Kipshuta is really is what he's saying. Right? He's mentioning this point over here. He's questioning that why is there no Nemonis on Eidus? Why are we dependent on the Pesha also? So on that he says, because the reason why Eidus is non-relevant, because the Eidus is a Meis Matzim Rosh over here. That's why Eidus is not relevant. Now, Meis Matzim Rosh is the only in the case where Taka did something which he was not supposed to do, which is Anusa Machmas Mon. But if Anusa Machmas the Rosh is, there's no problem of Meis Matzim Rosh, and therefore the Koyach of Eidus he does have. And therefore, if that's so even though there's no Pesha Osar, but he has the Kayach of Eidus, so he'll be named Kayach Eidus. Right? That's what he's coming to say.
And then we should rip up the Shtar.
Right, that's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kipshuta, what he's saying is that the whole Mishnah, right, which is dependent on the Pesha Osar, right, is talking about such a case, right? So, therefore the Reisha is also talking about Anusim Machmas Momen. That's why his Nemonis is the Pesha Osar, and therefore it might have the limitations of how far the Pesha Osar could take it. Now, let's see the Rashi. Look, Rashi. Lo yishono di'im ksav yodnashim gomacha ein Nemonim. According to the Mishnah Kama in the Gemara, Rabbi Mecham is talking about the Sefer when it's Avyazim Ho'achas Enemonim, which we're explaining that the point over there is that when there's no Pesha Osar, and because of the lack of the Pesha Osar, which is the lack of any source of Nemonis, there's no other, right? And that is, he's saying that's El Sha'amar Nusma Yino Machmas Mon. So, Grash, Lavko Kamine Lishavu Yenav Shaihu Rishoim Be'edus Pim. They don't have the power to change their status, to create their status as Rishoim through their own Eidus, Velifsol Es Hashtar, and Pasol the Shtar, the Odom Korovei Talatzmin. Now Rashi explains that this idea of Odom Meis Masmin Rosho, what's that based on? Why Takanat? So Rashi says that's based on the simple idea of Odom Kovar Eitzel Atzmai, Ve'ene Neman Al Atzmai, there's a psul kurv over here. If he's saying something about himself, he's not Neman to accomplish something that Eidus accomplishes. Lo'y l'sus, lo'y l'choyva, b'dine nefoshes, over psulei Eidus, and so there's different types of accomplishments with Eidus. Either it could create a hischaivus, or a ptur, that's from what one could accomplish with his Eidus. Or another accomplishment with his Eidus would be a change of status. That psule Eidus. Lehayoses rosho uposel alpiv. So Krashi, being that's so, ve'elu poistam asmon ba'imrom chosavnu sheker b'shu'aynis momen. And if we were to deal with over here, that let them be neman b'koyach Eidus, on the fact that they've been made that this shtar is not valid because we were not made when we signed on a hischaivus. We didn't see any hischaivus, right? We signed to something which didn't happen. We were forced, but that was an inis moment. So someone who does such a thing is nifsal. So what they're saying is something which were that to be accepted, it would passel them. And they're not Neman because they're craven. Now, really over here, that's not really so much the point of what they're coming to say, right? They're not, their point is not about themselves. They're really coming to be made on the validity of the shtar, right? Which is lechayra a different point. They're coming to say that there was no halvot took place, right? That's all, right? That's what they're coming to say. However, in this context, when they're saying that they were made, they signed something, but there was no halvot. So this edus includes another point, and this edus is also, were that to be true, it would change their status, and they can't be neman klape as far as that's concerned. So therefore, we can't accept the edus at all. That's seemingly what it says over here. And what I mean to point out is that even though it's really two different concepts, but it would seem to be that, you know, we can't split it. Right? There's one edus. This edus is really, really, really says two things. First of all, there was no halvo. So between the malv and the loivet, there's no money which is owed. Right? It also tells about a story about the edim, which happened to be themselves. Right? That they signed falsely means that they were made sheker. Right? That's what their chasimus were. They testified to something that didn't happen unjustly, and therefore that will create a paslus on them. And the psul kurvas of Rashi says that they can't be neman as far as that. So a person can't be made on himself. So therefore, this edus can't be accepted at all.
Isn't there a concept that something that's in your power, that biyado, that you believed on? So can't they take out some dice right now and stop being misachin the kuvi in front of us right now, in front of the bezdin? And they have their power to make themselves puzzle if they wanted to. If they would take out some kuvya and start doing misachin the kuvi right in front of us, they could puzzle themselves.
Does that work retroactively?
Okay, so that's a good point. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's put that question on the side right now. Let's have to just think about that. But so what we just explained over here was as follows: that Rav Chama is really questioning your question over here. Why is it that the only power of Nemanus over here is the Peshaz we have there? We're dealing with Edom over here. Well, what happened to Edus? So on that, he tells us that in Ochanami, the reason why there's no Edus over here is because of a Mesem Atzmei Rasha issue over here. That's why. And therefore, were the same Anusim to be an Anusim which has no Mesem Atzmei Rasha, which that is what takes away the Koyach of Edus over here, that in Ochanami, the Taka would be Nemun. And they wouldn't be dependent on the Pesha Asar. Therefore, in the safe of the Mishnah, when there is no Pesha Asar, they would still be Neman. Right? So that's what Rav Chama is coming to address. Let's just see the next Rashi. Machmas Tefashos Omar Bal Ashtar Hazeh Lahargoy V'Adam Chazaku. He has the ability, so it's a valid Pikuach Nefashos situation, and this case, that not only is it mutter, but they attack a mechuyev in order to preserve their lives, to sign. So by doing that, they don't become a rosh, and therefore the koyach of edus is valid. If the koyach of edus is valid, I don't need the pasha also, right? So, okay, so that's what Rav Chama is saying over here.
The last line of the previous Rashi, Bereisha Tanu Misham Pesha Asu Pesha Hitir, Rashi saying that in the Reisha they're believed because they have a Pesha Asu Pesha Hitir and they're believed even though they're making themselves a shayim.
So Kipshutai, I mean, the way Rashi explains that, what's the problem of making yourself into a Rasha? It's because of Kurva. Kurva is Halacha and Edus.
Right.
So Pesha Asu is not Edus. So there's no Psul. And right, in something which is not Edus Kurva, so then it doesn't bother me. Right? So the way Rashi explains that, I think it's very understandable why the Mesem Asim Rashi issue is a halacha in Edus. That's what it is, right? So therefore, if you come with another power, which is not Eidus, Tesha Asar, it's non-affected by...
And therefore that would be believed even though if they said Machmas, even if they said Machmas Mamon.
That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. Right. Now the truth is that it could be that it's even more, according to the way we just explained it. Because the way we explained according to Rashi, what the Pesha Asar is that it's really only an Enmonus to take off the Kiyum. Right? So regardless what they're saying is not, they're not Neman on what they're actually saying. They will never become Possel. Right? The whole Nemonis is only within the realms of Kim, yeah, Kim, not Kim. So they're never to take off their Kim, but they're never never further than the Kim. So it's not affecting them at all. They're not going to become Possel. Right?
Interesting. Tosfos right. Might have a problem with that then.
Yeah, okay, we'll see why according to Tosfos also, it should not be a problem, Lachaya. Right, because they can't pass themselves with a meter either. Right, they need Eidus.
So you're saying they won't even be Mason Masma Russia in the ratio?
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good, right? But that have to chesh neros. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, this is the Lishna Kamli more. Okay, let's see if we can get to the Lishna Basra over here. Okay. Of them affecting more of the following question. Omar le Rovo, Kol Kamine, Kivin Shahigid, Shoven Khazar Magid. And that Rovo says, Rovo comes to question Roman Bachom. And Rava really is bringing up what was mentioned over here, and what Rava is saying is, in the context of how we set this up over here, is Rava saying that the reason why there's no Eidus in the Mishnah over here is for a different reason. It's not because of the Meisim Asim in Rasha. The reason why there's no Eidus in the Mishnah is because of Kivin Shiv Higa Shuvan Chayzer Magen. Now let's hear what that means. Right? What that means, Kipshuta, is there's a halacha in Eidus that when someone was made on a certain topic, Shuvan Chayzer Magen, he can't come back again and be made. Now, what that means, what does that mean? What that means definitely is in reference to retracting what he said. A person cannot retract what he said. Now, there is maybe a shaila in why can't he retract what he's saying? Is the pshat over here that you only get, you know, one comment on a topic? Is that what it is? And therefore the second thing that you say doesn't register at all? So there's no second comment to undo the first one? Or what that means is as follows, that what a person says, the initial Eidus is registered in Bezdin, that the Shoven Chayz Magad Gufa means that granted that you could give another opinion, but it's not going to take off that first opinion. So therefore that first opinion will still be there. So what we'll create over here is maybe two opposite forces of Eidus. Right? We might have an Eidus against an Eidus over here, but it can't come off. Just like if another pair of Eidim comes and says contrary to this, so that's what we call a trey trey. You have two Eidim against two Eidim, but the second pair of Eidim is not better than the first pair of Eidim, and therefore, you know, we're stuck with a Sophic. So that's That might be what this halacha is that kiven shehiv higid shevay nechayzer magid means that you can't retract what you said. However, but what you're saying the second time maybe could have a teres edus, but being that you're not retracting what you said before, so you'll have two opposing edus.
We don't say that. We say that the first edus is solid and the second edus is ignored.
What do you mean with that?
It's not like a tray of tray. We say kiven shehiv nechayzer magid, therefore we only listen to the first edus.
Where are you? What's the source that you're coming from?
It's the Gemara.
Yeah.
Doesn't the Mishnah say "Einam ne'amnon, einam ne'amanim"? What does that mean? Doesn't it mean that we don't accept this second testimony, even as edus, even as a tray betray, and then the shtar is mekuyim? If it was tray for tray, it wouldn't be mekuyim.
Right? Then you can use the shtar to collect with. It would be like a tray of tray. We would say that.
So this might be a discussion. You're saying good, right? Definitely from the information that we have over here. This has to do with the Taisvis, with this Taisvis over here. But let's tackle work with what with the Yedis that we have right now, right? And you're saying very good. But let's just put it into the Mishnah. So Rava's saying right now that the reason why there's no Edis in the Mishnah is because of a Chayzer Magid. Now let's see, where does that come into the Mishnah, the Chayzer Magid? The Chayzer Magid in the Mishnah is that they were made in the shtar
when they signed,
right? There was a valid halvah. So now they can't b'teres edus just to come and say that halvah was not a halvah because in anusim hayinu, that's a chayzer magid. They can't affect. Hari Elu Einemonim. And therefore, Kipshuta, like you're saying, the safe of the mission is that so fine. So, you know, we have Kim from other Aiden, the Shtar is Mekuyim. What they're doing to the Shtar over here is Einemonim, so they can't prevent at all the shtar from being collected, and then the shtar could be collected with. Right? So it would seem to be that from the Mishnah that the Chayzer Magid over here means that they can't create anything. Mm-hmm. Right, that's Zichr the what seems to be in the Mashmoyis Advarim here. And therefore, like you're saying very good, that the Einu Chayzer Magid would seem to be that they can't register another opinion on the topic at all. Right? They lost their Koyach Avedus. Now, so therefore Rava is saying over here that you're telling me that only because of the Meis Masmi Rasha, that's why there's no Koyach Avedus. And therefore you're saying if there's no Meis Masmi Rasha, you could be made on that. He's saying that's not true. That the reason why there's no Koyach Avedus over here is non-dependent on the Rasha, because there's a Chayzer Magid. Therefore, regardless, L'chayra, there is no Koyach Avedus over here. It's only the Pesha Asa, and that's the Reish and the Seifa. Now the Gemara says, Gemara continues. The Gemara says, no, maybe zok the Gemara v'chitei mahanemili al peh avul b'shtar loy. Zok the Gemara a possibility that we could rescue the lishtin kama of Rami Bar Chama, and That means that Rama Chama, the reason why he said, but he said that there's no Eidus is only because of the Meis Matzmei Rosh, and he wasn't concerned about the Enochayzer Magid, is that's because this is an Eidus Bishtar, and the dinner of Chayzer Magid is Dafka with an Eidus Al Peh.
Because the word Haggadah, Kivin Shehigid, is the Lashon of Peh.
Very good. You saying over Rashi?
I think so.
Very good, right. The Gabi Eid is Chodah Hagod Aksiva, Im Lo Yagid. Right? Okay, even though Rashi is maybe using it in a little bit different context, but fine. Right, that's what the Gemara at this point is entertaining. That's a halacha in Eidus al peh. An Eidus Bishtar doesn't have that halacha, and therefore Eidus Bishtar, so by saying this, that the din of Ein Chozer Magid is non-applicable by Shtar, and we're dealing with an Eidus, original Eidus was an Eidus Bishtar, so that's what Rabbi Macham wasn't concerned about that. That's not a reason why he can't be made subsequently a second Eidus after the Eidus Bishtar, and the only reason why there's no Eidus over here is again because of the Meis Matzmei Rosh, right? Zotim more? No. That's not true. V'homer Shlokish Eidim Chachsum HaShtar and Askim Shnachem Yusim Bezdin. Zotim more, Shlokish told us an idea, a concept, that Eidim Chachsum HaShtar Nasha K'mi Shnachem Yusim Bezdin. Let's hear this. Eidim hachsum al ashtar, when Eidim sign an ashtar, nasa kemishu nechka edusim bebezin domi. Now, what these words simply seem to be saying is that signatures which are signed on ashtar, their status is like that of Eidim after Chakira. Chakira is the verification when Eidim come and they made Alpen Bezdin. So Bezdin verifies their Eidus through Drisha v'Chakira, whatever is applicable in this Din Torah. And with that, their Eidus is established. Before that, what they're saying, their Eidus is not an established Eidus. So Reish Lakish is saying that Eid Mechsum al Ashtar, that even without the actual Chakira process, they have the chashivas of la'acha chakira. Now, how is that relevant to us? So it would seem to be from the Gemara that the Gemara's commentators say, tell us why the din of chozer magid is relevant to Eidus Bishtar, right? Now let's just review what we mentioned before. Why did we think that the din of Chozer Magid is not applicable? So if you understand, like was maybe suggested before, just simply that's Exeris HaKosu, right? That you can't be Chozer Magid only by Eidus Al Peh. By Eidus Bishtar, there wasn't such halacha that was said. Right, so then we'd have a little difficulty understanding what if things change. The Gemara says, "Well, I'll prove to you that that's not true because Reish Lakish says that Eid Machsum Hashan Nas Kmish Echer Eidusim Bezdin. What does that do? What does it mean? Eidus is still in Eidus Chichsav. It didn't become an Eidus Al Peh. Right. So if it's just I'm kind of Agzeres Akosla that this halacha was only said when you made Al Peh, but not made Bichsav. So how would we understand what Reish Lakish is doing? Is he coming to say some kind of idea that Eidus Bichsav is like Eidus Al Peh? Is that what he's coming to say here? And he's equating with these words. He's equating that they have all the same halachas, and that's how we take out of what he's saying that the din of Chozer Magid is applicable to Eidus Bishtar. That's all we want to understand. Right? What
did he say? Nogia Ar Sugya, or did he say Nogia something else totally? And we're just borrowing his phrase.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Right. So let's pack a file that up. Right. Where does Reish Lakish say his halacha, the initial halacha. So the Gemara is found in the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara really is discussing the Iker Din of Kiyum Shtoris. And the Gemara over there tells us that Kiyum Shtoris is only Drabonon. Why? Because of Resh Lakish. Because Eidim Hachson, which is as follows. That means that the concept of Kiyum Shtoris is because of Achshash Ziv. Midaraisa, you don't need Kiyum. What happened to the possible, to the Taina of Ziv? So on that, that's what Resh Lakish is saying. That Resh Lakish is saying is that one can't Taina Mezuyif on a Shtar Midaraisa because the Shtar has the power like Acha Chakira, after it was verified. Right? That's what he's coming to say. What the basis of that is, okay, why is that so? Right, Rashi over there maybe says this is a chazaka, really, which is that's what it's based on. But Resh Lakish really is coming to tell me why a taina of ziyif is not possible on a shtar. That's what these words of Nasek Mishneh Chaydusim Bebezn is. That it's like Acha Chakira, so the Eidus is considered authentic, and we know that it's not Mezuyif, as if it was verified. So again, what does that have to do with us? Why is that? How is that relevant to us? All right. So this is a question in the reading of the Gemara, right? What was the Salka Daitech in the Gemara, this chiluk between Eidus Shtar and Eidus Alpeh, and how does what Resh Lakish is saying, he wasn't even talking about our issue directly, right? Gemara seems to be saying that just like Resh Lakish is saying concerning whatever he was talking about as far as why Kiyum is not necessary, a taina of Mezuyif would not be accepted on a shtar, that's because that there's a nechkara on a shtar. The same concept of nechkara is a reason why it is applicable a chayzer umagit. That's what I'm just reading what our Gemara says. So working backwards, it would seem like that was why the Gemara thought that it's possible a chayzer magid by shtar, not merely because it's there as a cause of by shtar as opposed to an edus al peh, but being that edus bishtar, the Gemara didn't know there was an echkara, so that's how it lends to be able to adjust, change to be chayzer on the edus, right? Which means as follows, is that just like you understand that an Eidus al peh with the Chakira, the verification of what they're saying, whatever is involved in that, that's what establishes the Eidus, and before that the Eidus is not a finished Eidus. And when the Eidus is not itself is not finished, therefore there will be room for the Eidus itself to be adjusted.
Before Chakira, the Eidim can change their story?
Yeah.
It's not from Shuv Chozer Magid?
Ken Zayin, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to think along those lines. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll see if we could, if we could explain it like this. But it would seem to be from the Gemara by us that because the Gemara was not working with a chayzer with a nechkara on the shtar, that was the basis why we could be chayzer umagid. And on that, the Gemara tells us that, well, Resh Lakish tells us that there is a nechkara. Granted that Resh Lakish is using nechkara for a different point, but our havamina is based on thinking that there was no nechkara in the shtar. Right, that's what possibly we could think along those lines to understand the Gemara over here. That if there was no Nechr Nishtar, so the Eidus does not have that finality that it's not subject to adjustment. Right? So that's why in Eidus, right, the Eidim themselves, it's always subject to adjustment. The Eidim themselves could adjust what they said. And that's why there wouldn't have been a din of Ein Chozer Magid. On that, the Gemara tells us that Rish Lakish says that there is a din of Nechtra, therefore the Eidus on the Shtar is final. There is a finality to the Eidus in the Shtar. And if that's so, so then there's no difference between Eidus B'Shtar and Eidus Alper. Right? So what we just explained over here was that this, that the Gemara made a difference between Eidus B'Shtar and Eidus Alper is because that Eidus Alper has the Chakira, which finalizes the Eidus. Once the Eidus is finalized, that's the basis of Shuvei Nechezer Magid. But an Eidus which is not necessarily finalized, so then it's subject to be changed. Of course, until it's changed, you know, we could use it as it is, right? That's what we'll have to say. Or else, you know, they're not going to have a nishtar, right? But akoponim, but it won't have that finality, that it's not subject for the Eidim themselves to adjust it. Okay, so we're offering over here just a little direction in the Gemara that what was the Havamina in the Gemara and why is Nechkira what makes it or breaks it. Okay, let's just see if we could get in. Let's just get in a couple of words in Maskana, in the Maskana Sagimora. So now that we just established Zotu Gimora, that Eidus, regardless, there is no Eidus over here. Right? So what was Rami Rachama saying? Right? If Rami Rachama is going on the Sefer, so he'll be saying that even when you don't have the power of Pesha Osar, but you still could be Neman. When is that? That's when the power of Eidus will work for you. Right? How could the power of Eidus work for you? Well, the only reason why Eidus doesn't work for you is because of Meis Masmir Rasha. So if you're Anusim, you know, in a way which there is no Meis Masmir Rasha, like Anusim Achmas Nefoshes, that's what he was saying there. Now, according to what Rav is saying, that regardless there's no Koyach of Eidus, it's a Chozer Magid. You're never going to have a Koyach of Eidus over here. So if we want to revive the memory of Rav Chama, who's coming to save some kind of difference between Nus Machmas Machmas Nefoshes, Zolta Gimora will have to learn that on the contrary. He's talking about the Reisha, which is therefore the Tzuris Advarim is like this, is that the Reisha in the Mishnah says that granted there's no Eidus over here. Eidus is not Negeya in our case. It's a Chozer Magid in this Mishnah. The only possible koyach of nemonis you have over here is the Pesha Osa, and therefore that's the information in the Sefer. On that Rami Chama, we come to say that even the Pesha Osa might not always work for you. Right? And this is where things might be changing from what we originally assumed. Right? Because that means that he's coming to say that, well, let's read the Gemara. Zok the Gemara. El Kitmar Reisha Idna, Har Eil Nemon. The Mishnah says, and the Reisha had the Pesha Osa to see Neman. That's only if the Anusim is Machmas Nefoshes. Av Omo Anusim is Machmas Momen, Ein Emonim. My timer, Ein Odom Meisim As Merosho. So what this Gemara is saying, right, and we'll need to explain that, right, I don't know if we have the time to do that right now, but what the Gemara is telling us now is that even though the Nemonis Nereish is not Mikoyach Eidus, right? It's because of a Pesha Osar. Nevertheless, the fact that there's a Meisim Atzmi Rosho will affect the Nemonis in the Mishnah, and therefore they won't be Nemon. That's what Rabbi Rachom is coming to say.
So we thought that Eidus the Meisim Atzmi Rosho, we thought there was only a problem with Eidus, and now we're saying Eidus the Meisim Atzmi Rosho is even a problem with Pesha Osar?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, really, we need to understand, Taka, why is that so? Right? Why, Taka, is that so? I mean, definitely, specifically, I mean, let's say, according to what Rashi says, right, that it's a problem of Korah. Right? Korah is a problem of Eidus. Right? Kara is a pal meidus. Now the Kara, we have a different koyach over here. There's a pesha also. It's not hilchas eidus. So why should kurva be a problem? Moreover, like we explained before, I mean, is this even a mason mas mirosha over here with what he's saying? At, according to the way we're explaining what the pesha us is doing, it's not even going deeper than just the kiyum itself, right? It's not even talking, you know, to the actual story. Right? We're not verifying the story.
Isn't there a possible way to say that the because the shtar wasn't mekayim any other way, so when they themselves are mekayim the shtar, their haggadah is finishing now, and if toch kidei dibor, they're saying. So that's part of their Haggadah, Toch Kidei Dibur, so it's a type of Eidus. The Pesha also makes it that we have to believe that Anusim HaYinu is part of the Haggadah. And it's a type of Eidus.
Okay, that could be a beer. That could be a beer.
Wouldn't then that take away the entire Eidus?
When they say that they're Anusim HaYinu,
right? Meaning, if you're going to say now that it's all one big Eidus, and that's why you're believing, you have a problem. You're calling it an Eidus and not a Pesha Asa Pesha Hitter, and that's why there's a problem of Mesim Asmo Rasha. If it's all one long Eidus, then you shouldn't even believe the man Ksav Yadenu, because it's one big Eidus. And instead of saying...
The Pesha also makes it that it's still an Eidus. Meaning that if they're Ksav Yadenu Yosim Rokum Acher, therefore their Haggadah finished when they sign. And therefore they can't say anything else now, because the Pesha also is what's creating that they have the ability to continue to be Magid, and not to be... It's not a problem of Shuv Eino Chozo Magid.
Okay.
I think the footnotes discussed Palgan Dibura is that...
Ah, right. So Palgan between the Tosfus. First part of the Nemanus and the first part... Okay.
Well, Palgan Dibura is the other way. Palgan Dibura means we believe them that they're Mekayim Neshtar, we don't believe them that they're Anusim. That's what Palgan Dibura means.
Right.
We split it.
Right. Okay. There. Fair enough. So
I didn't read the Tosfos, but it's the third to last Tosfos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that tastes. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know nothing yet.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we're just setting things up over here, and we'll have to. We'll leave you.
Can't leave us hanging.
We'll leave you at this point. Okay, but we just want to point out like this: is that there seems to be a shakla v'tarya in the Gemara about this point in the Lishne Kama of Rami Bar Chama that. He was making a difference in the sefer that in the sefer of the Mishnah it says that you're not neman were you to have edus. You would be neman, and therefore the Mishnah is talking about when there is no edus because of mesim masmi rasha. Nevertheless, the Reisha is Neman because of Pesha Asa, so that Gemara is assuming that the Din of Meis Masmi Rasha does not affect the Pesha Asa. Right?
Pesha Asa works even when the guy is Meisim himself
around. Right. But right. So you're just pointing out this, is that there, between the Lishne Kama of Rambam Bar Chama and Lishne Basra, there are two points which change over. Right? The Lishne Kama is assuming that there's no issue of a Chayzer Magid. Right? And therefore, what we need to do is to take Eidus out of the Mishnah, because it's Mevu in the Mishnah, the Chilk in the Mishnah is that there is no Eidus, and that's why we're riding on the Pesha Asar. Right? That's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, we're riding on the Pesha Asar, Reishi, you have the Pesha Asar, you're Neman. Safe and no Pesha Asar, you're not Neman. Right? So that's Mivu in the mission that there is no Eidus. Question is, why is there no Eidus? According to the Lishna Kama or Marachom, there's no Eidus because of Meisim Atzmi Rasha. Right? Right? But if that's true, so then that tells me that that doesn't affect the Pesha also. Right? And that's why in the Reisha, right, Yinema. According to the Lishna Basra of Rami Rachoma, that the reason why there's no Eidus in the Mishnah is because of Chayzer Magid. That's why there is none. And now he's coming to say that the chilik in the Reish itself, he's coming to make a chilik in when the Pesha also helps. And he's saying that if there's a Mesa Matzmi Rosh and the Pesha also doesn't help, right? So he's coming to say that is the Chazor in the Gemara in this Hanocho, whether the Mesa Matzmi Rosh affects the Pesha also or not. Okay? All right.